Big Red Monday with Doug and Wolf, presented by Sanderson Ford. Your home for everything Arizona Cardinals. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Good morning. I admit I don't even know what I'm doing, as I am actually in the Octane Community Studios with Ron Wolfley. It's only for one day.
What's up, Basinonians? How are you? The Doug and Wolf Show, Savages in the Morning.
But I don't even remember all the buttons that I pushed to actually start the show when I sit in here, because it's been, I don't know,
months.
Like, I've been in here twice since Rudy Gobert, so I don't know what I'm doing. Bear, do I even throw to this thing, or do I just start? I don't even remember how this works. I don't.
You can throw it to me.
Good right here.
I admit. I just sat down expecting to know everything I'm supposed to do, and then I realized, wait a minute, I don't know what buttons do what.
This
go ahead and do something, Bear.
Doug and Wolf, Big Red reacts.
Go.
Reaction to yesterday's Cardinals game.
Boy, you're talking about fun to watch.
Presented by the Wekopa Casino Resort, where world-class action meets Four Diamond Splendor.
How fun was that? The Arizona Cardinals jump all over the football team early.
Snap to Murray. Three-step drop. Fires deep middle. Wide open is DeAndre Hopkins in the back of the end zone for his first touchdown as a Cardinal. He was wide open, and the Cardinals strike first with 9:09 to go in the first quarter.
D-Hop, what'd you see?
I would tell you exactly what I've seen and how, you know, I'm going to score more touchdowns that way, but we got a game next week, so I can't give you too much, but, you know, Kyler just seen me open. I made a play. Obviously, you've seen that he was looking the other way at first and came back to me. And I knew that, you know, I needed to be in a certain position and a certain spot for him to make that throw, and he did.
Boy, just an absolute meltdown by Washington trying to set up a picket fence. Obviously a mental error for DeAndre Hopkins to be that wide open in the back of the end zone. Some type of communication breakdown.
That's nice of you to say some type of, because when there's two defensive backs that both look at Landon Collins, and Landon Collins puts his hands on his helmet after the play, I'm going to say it was on Landon Collins.
It was a mental error.
This is Corey Peters looking good.
Haskins back to throw on first down from his 39. He's in trouble here, and he's sacked back at the 30-yard line. Corey Peters gets the sack, and it's a loss of 9 on the play.
Well, I love that play in particular as well, Basinonians. They brought 5 on that play. Came after Haskins with a little bit of pressure and looped Corey Peters all the way around. And the big guy got home.
What I loved about it is it was, when you said looped, it was Chandler Jones that was the one that rushed inside to give himself up, and he celebrated harder than Corey Peters did. So a guy that wants 20 sacks on the year is willing to sacrifice for the leader of the team.
That's called an ET when that end crashes first and the tackle comes all the way around. Excellent game.
Shotgun snap to Kyler Murray. Drops straight back, zips it downfield, and it's picked off by Landon Collins at the 20-yard line. Collins stepped in front of DeAndre Hopkins, got the interception. He is tackled at the 19-yard line.
Somewhat of a redemption for Landon Collins.
This was textbook by Landon Collins right there. That's exactly how the weak side safety in a two-safety high look is supposed to play that middle of the field. That's exactly what he did. Kyler Murray never saw him. A great play by Landon Collins on the weak side of too high.
So what did the Cardinals do in reaction to having a big turnover?
Gibson the deep back, Haskins under center, first and goal on the Cardinals 9. Play action pass. Haskins in the pocket. The ball comes out and it's picked off at the 11-yard line into the hands of Chandler Jones. That should go down as an interception. Regardless, it's a takeaway for Jones as Haskins had the ball knocked away from him as he dropped back to throw.
Yes, regardless, because to me, was his arm going forward? Was it not going forward? It really doesn't matter because the ball was picked out of the air.
It's Jordan fumble Phillips, or not, the person you've been talking about all
year?
Yeah,
fumble or not, that's what created that turnover.
The physicality has been great. The third downs have been great. That was an area we really struggled on last year, as y'all know, particularly third and long, and we've been getting off the field, and that was a point of emphasis for our defense and BJ and myself to really improve that, and they have, and Steve did a tremendous job adding some pieces that made big plays today. You saw 59 and 97 all over that field, and I just think that group is going to continue to come together as we go on.
I thought the defense did a really good job coming out, starting this game, a three and out to start the game, bada bing, bada boom. That set the tone and the tempo for that first half.
And then in the second quarter on a tough play.
Curry back to throw off play action from the pocket, in trouble, gets sacked. Back at the five-yard line, John Bostic gets the sack. It's a loss of 7 or 8 on first down.
By the way, if you are a fan of the Washington football team, it is so hard to say that and not say Jeff Bostic every time instead of John Bostic.
Jeff, and I played with the Bostics.
It's kind of a difficult thing.
Joe and Jeff.
So it forces the Cardinals to punt, which is a bad thing, supposedly.
Andy Lee to punt from his 5-yard line. Smokes this one. Sims is under it at the 28. Fields it there. Has some running room off the left side of the 30 to the 35. And tackled at the 40-yard line, and the ball comes out.
Yeah, David, the pig was out. That was out.
And it's ruled Cardinal ball.
As the long snapper, Brewer, hustles down to recover the fumble.
So this guy actually started the play with the ball in his hands and finished the play with the ball in his hands.
What did that set up?
Murray is lined up in shotgun with 1 second left. They do run a play. They snap it to him. Murray keeping it, running to the right. He's to the five, cuts to the left, and hits pay dirt. Kyler Murray with a touchdown run from 14 yards out. And the Cardinals, with no time left in the first quarter, get another touchdown.
Did you get the feeling Washington was waiting for the quarter to end right there? I did.
Yeah, I did. A called run again for Kyler Murray.
Kyler, what does that mean when you can score?
I mean, I think it does a lot. It's an extension of the run game, or really our offense in general. When I can break the pocket or pull a read and score. That's the dynamic that we have in this offense because I'm able to move. But it's a blessing to be able to move fast.
The scrambles are great. There's no doubt about that. The untimed down, that is fantastic. When suddenly you pull it down, you extend the play, you convert a 3rd and 10, whatever it may be. That is great. But I can tell you right now, the most powerful thing is the fact that the Arizona Cardinals are saying, Kyler, we're not afraid to run you, and we're going to let defenses see that. You want to keep putting two safeties high because you got DeAndre Hopkins, Larry Fitzgerald, and Christian Kirk? That's fine. We're going to run the ball.
How about, granted, quietly, and he's got a long way to go to justify being a first-round pick, but how about how one person is starting to play in two games?
Shotgun set. Haskins waiting for the football. He's got it. Short setup. Moving now to his left, in trouble, and he's sacked back at the 40-yard line. Hassan Reddick got the sack. Haskins not mobile enough to get around him, and that pushes him out of field goal range, perhaps a 7-yard loss.
Hassan Reddick, so happy for this guy that he's actually producing right now, feeling like he knows what he's doing, found a home as an outside linebacker. This is great to see, a great kid, by the way.
Then, so the Arizona Cardinals have a nice lead to begin the second half, and then second half, what happened?
24-yard field goal try. Kick is on the way, and it's good, and Washington is on the board. 3:14 to play in the third. It is 20-3, Arizona.
As Washington ends up winning the second half by a score of 15-10.
Yeah, you know what? Intensity drained. Not having the Red Sea there, I think that really showed up. Now, again, is that an excuse? Heck no. You're a football player. Go do your job.
However, they still got Kyler in the fourth.
Shotgun snap to Murray. Steps up and takes off. Far side of the 20. Got room at the 10. Cuts right to the 5. Jukes the defender and scores. Touchdown, Kyler Murray. A 22-yard run. His second rushing touchdown of the game. That defender is in multiple pieces at the 5-yard line as he tried to break down and make that play, and Kyler broke him down.
No doubt about it. They brought out the broom and swept it up. That is a great example of what Kyler Murray can continue to do, especially in the red zone.
Then, Kyler, what'd you see?
Well, as soon as I leave the pocket, obviously surveying the field, seeing how the blocks were set up, they were set up pretty perfectly. Guys did a great job. And then once I got a guy one-on-one, I like my chances. So that was kind of the situation.
Fake misdirection pitch, make it look like an option, but it's actually a lead blocker?
Man, did you see what he did to Landon Collins on a play that didn't count? That's a good football player he juked.
Yeah. And then it gets a little worse because at least the Washington football team has one good player.
Haskins over the middle, caught by McLaurin of the 10, and he's going to get into the end zone for the touchdown. So it's 27-9. Terry McLaurin finally getting into the action here, and that's the first touchdown given up by the Cardinals. 12-20 remaining in the fourth quarter.
Seven receptions, 125 yards, and a touchdown. McLaurin's a good football player.
He's a
third-round
really
pick, I think.
No doubt about it. Really good football player, and, of course, running a 4-3-5 helps.
I like what Devon Kennard said.
Got to give them credit. They came out, and they made some adjustments, and, you know, I don't think we played as well as we wanted to in the second half. Started letting letting them go up-tempo on us and get some plays off, and that's something we got to look at on film. And although it's a win, great win, take any win you can, we got something that we could build off of because that's not the second half we want to have.
That is a great thing to say right there, Devon Kennard. No
Absolutely.
Doubt about it.
So Washington gets another touchdown. It's 27-15. Zane finishes it off with a field goal to make it 30-15.
Meanwhile, a run play that ends the game. The Cardinals win 30-15. Kyler Murray, three touchdowns, two on the ground, one through the air. A spectacular performance by the second-year Cardinals quarterback.
Well,
Cardinals are 2-0 for the first time in 5 years.
I even have a little counter that was still counting. I just figured he was done. So if you didn't look around this division, do you think this was an important win? Everybody in the division is either 2-0, or the 49ers felt like they lost half their team and won anyway.
What a mess.
At 1-1. This is the best division in the NFL, and right now the Arizona Cardinals are tied in first place. There is your Cardinals Big Red Reacts this morning. Coming up next, Wolf from high above takes a look at what he sees and what he hopes to see next week. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Your home for everything Arizona Cardinals. 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Big Red Monday with Doug and Wolf. Presented by Sanderson Ford.
As part of our coverage of the 2-0 Arizona Cardinals, Big Red Monday today, got a couple things you need to try to see if you can fit into your schedule. 7 o'clock this morning, Kelvin Beachum, the Cardinals' right tackle, who's been pretty fantastic, will join us and talk about what it feels like to be 2-0.
Nice.
And then we got a listeners-only meeting at 7:15 where you get to get off anything on your chest that you feel about the Cardinals. And I'm still thrilled that without football and still no sign of when it will start for the Pac-12, we still have Herm Edwards, a two-time NFL head coach and a longtime assistant and a longtime player, to join us at 8:30. And I know he's watching the Cardinals to talk about Arizona Cardinals, Arizona State Sun Devils, and everything NFL.
And a longtime analyst as for ESPN. I love it.
So he's coming up again at 8:30. Right now, Ron Wolfley, who was sitting high above and actually got to attend an NFL football game Sunday,
beautiful,
gets to tell you what he saw.
Doug and Wolf's Bird's Eye View, where Wolf scans the Cardinals matchup yesterday from 30,000 feet.
All right, Basinonians, the Arizona Cardinals are 2-0 for the first time since 2015, Ron Wolfley reporting.
They went to the NFC Championship game in 2015.
Jack Nicklaus once said, Douglas, it's not a professional golfer's best shots that separates them from amateurs. It's their worst shots that separates them from amateurs. That's how I feel when I talk about Arizona-Washington. The Arizona Cardinals took care of business, and now they're 2-0. It's one thing to get yourself jacked up for the 49ers. Basinonians, everybody gets jacked up for the 49ers. But what do you do against a team you should beat? A team like Washington. The Cardinals should have won this game, and they did. They were playing at home against an inconsistent opposing quarterback with a new head coach in Ron Rivera, and oh, the Cards had more talent, Basinonians. They should have won. And that's exactly why this game was so stinking dangerous. Because they should have won. Take 2-0 and run right now. The previous week, they beat a team many people thought they wouldn't beat on the road. This week, they beat a team everybody thought they'd beat at home. Can you feel that? Two different prognostications, two different viewpoints, two completely different vibes with the same result. Victory. The Cardinals were better than Washington in all three phases. They haven't played up to their competition. They haven't played down to their competition. They played up to their potential in both games, which is the veritable hallmark of a good football team, ladies and gentlemen. And right now, the Arizona Cardinals are a good football team. And that's my view from 30,000 feet. Where's the clothes? I have a, I don't know.
I said in an interview like 2 weeks ago on like the Big Red deal.
Okay, thank you, Coach. We appreciate that.
David Wright, that's funny every time.
It just, honestly, they took care of business. It is the number one takeaway. It's the number two takeaway. It's the number three takeaway. Especially in that first half. I just love the way they came out and they played in all three phases of that first half. Special teams, defense, offense came out, took a 20-0 lead in this game, went into halftime with a 20-0 lead, and then it got a little sideways. There's no doubt they didn't play nearly as well in the second half as they did that first half. But, man, I was so impressed with the professionalism going out and doing your job. And that's what they did.
There's no rant here, but the second half bothered me a lot.
You know what? Honestly, it should, too. I mean, if you are a football player, if you're a guy that went out and competed, it should bother you that you went out there and you didn't play as well in the second half as you did in the first half.
I mean, I want to be very, I don't know if soft is the word, but very understanding if you are in week 12 and you're 10-2 going into the game against a bad Washington team and you're up 20-0 and you know, and you're already coming off of three straight years of the playoffs, things like that. But you still shouldn't let up in the second half, but I really get it. But I feel like when players do that, they're taking winning for granted. And how in the world could anybody in that clubhouse, in that locker room, take winning for granted yet in week two when you haven't been to the playoffs in half a decade?
Yeah, but you know what? Kyler Murray doesn't know anything about not being to the playoffs, right? I mean, he knows about last year, and that's basically it. And they've got a young team with a bunch of young players that are all coming together right here. And I think, too, the preseason and not having preseason games, I really do believe, Basinonians, league-wide, I think we're seeing things that we're typically not used to seeing, not accustomed to seeing, and things that I think probably might never be seen again because of the fact that you didn't have preseason. You didn't have any type of preseason preparation, and I think it's showing the tackling part of it. If you watch a lot of games, it's showing up. Everyone was talking about that too, by the way. Everyone was worried about, oh my goodness, a tackling right here. And the mental, there's more MEs I've seen, blown plays. Think of DeAndre Hopkins. The fact that he was wide open at the back of the end. Landon Collins, whatever he did, I have no idea. But they were trying to set up a picket fence. And whatever it was, for him to be that wide open, mental errors and tackling. Those two things right now defensively, you can see it league-wide.
Seeing procedural penalties. You're seeing a lot of missed calls from referees on simple procedural things that I'm amazed with. Last night, there was a flag that was thrown for Russell Wilson throwing the ball beyond the line of scrimmage, but there was no 10-second runoff. It happened inside of 2 minutes. It's got to be. I mean, it's like any referee, it's a no-brainer, and they just blew it. They just weren't thinking. And it's even worse because they're in constant communication with New York. Like, New York could at any moment say, hey, wait, go back. You need to take off 10 seconds. So New York forgot that as well. I mean, and there's I don't know if this has anything to do with the preseason. There's also going forward on fourth down inside your own 30.
That I'm never going to get used to that, Cliff. I'm just telling you that
it's
right
wrong.
Now. You know so much more about
this. It doesn't matter
that
you got it.
The
was
new,
wrong.
New analytics, the new analytics are not the old analytics. I'll take the old analytics any day, and that's it.
Analytics have nothing to do with the mindset of the other team. And if you don't get that, what does that do for Washington? Didn't you learn in New Orleans? They're down 20. They're dead. Your defense is killing them. Why are you afraid of putting your defense back on the field?
Why would you take a three-possession game and turn it into a two-possession game?
Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah. And did you get it? Yeah, you got it. Doesn't matter. It's just, it's not worth the risk.
You punted it four plays later.
Yeah.
That's just, was that worth the risk?
Right. I'm totally, totally with you on that. Coming up next, we've got Kyler Murray. How happy are you to watch him run? Are you still getting a little nervous? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Your home for everything Arizona Cardinals. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Big Red Monday with Doug and Wolf. Presented by Sanderson Ford.
You got to bring up Russell Wilson in the conversation. There's a lot of other people in 2 weeks to look at around the league. But any of the hype train that says if Patrick Mahomes can do it in year two and Lamar Jackson can do it in year two, it's still there for Kyler Murray.
A work in progress. I think you can see we're not as sharp as we'd like to be, but he has so much talent that he can still make some incredible plays. And we're just going to keep working at it and hopefully take another step next week and go from there. So he's a spectacular talent. We all know that. When I think when we really get it clicking and getting a rhythm, that we can get rolling pretty good. So we'll hopefully take another step next week and that'll continue.
I love the fact that Cliff is being a little reserved in regard to his praise and being effusive in his praise of Kyler Murray. He actually is saying he's not as sharp. He's not as sharp as he could be. I love the fact that he's actually out there acknowledging that. That is great coaching from Cliff Kingsbury, in my opinion.
This is, Kyler's doing so many things well, and there's a lot of good performances. Josh Allen has been really, really good for Buffalo in the first 2 weeks, and more than likely the Cardinals will be seeing him. I have to say more than likely now for everybody, because you don't know if anybody's getting injured by the time you play them. It's just that crazy of a year, but there is a lot of good players that are in an MVP running in only 2 weeks, and one of them's Kyler. Cliff, how do you feel? How are you feeling when he's running? Do you enjoy watching your franchise quarterback make plays with his feet?
I'm always just saying, get down. So I can't even enjoy it, honestly. But it's the next day I enjoy the run.
That's a great answer.
Absolutely. It's so true, right? Steve Keim told us the same thing. No. Yes. Right? That's what it's all about right now. I love the fact that Cliff Kingsbury, I think I counted 4 or 5 times that he actually called a run for Kyler Murray. 4 or 5 times. That's a lot more than what we saw last year, Basinonians, right? It's a lot more called runs for Kyler Murray. I think maybe one we'd see, 2, somewhere in that vicinity for the most part, 2 or 3 at the most. I think 5 times. I looked at Dave in the booth and I said, I think that's the 5th time they've called a run for Kyler Murray on this possession. And it was, to me, I got to tell you right now that this is the thing that is going to continue to make the Arizona Cardinals a nightmare, a veritable nightmare on offense. You're a defensive coordinator right now. You're calling runs for Kyler Murray, and you've got to count that as part of the rushing attack for the Arizona Cardinals. I'm not talking about the scrambles, Basinonians. That's Michael Vick. That's just Kyler Murray being Kyler Murray, pulling the ball down and running, and that's dangerous enough. And that is demoralizing to a defense, especially on third and obvious pass situations where suddenly your quarterback pulls it down. You've done everything right. You've rushed the passer. You've put pressure on him. You've got everyone covered downfield, and he pulls the ball down and converts with his legs. It's demoralizing. The most demoralizing thing that can happen in a football game is that the other team can line up and run the ball down your throat, Basinonians. You can't even imagine the impact that has on the entire team watching a defense just get crushed by the other team running the ball in between the tackles in particular. That's demoralizing. Second most demoralizing thing, when a quarterback can pull the ball down and scramble and make plays with his legs. You did everything right. You got him on first down, second down. It's 3rd and 10. You've done everything right, and suddenly pulls the ball down and converts with his legs.
Especially when you think of, just like you said, okay, the number one thing a defense wants to do is get a turnover. But number two is to get you in 3rd and difficult, 3rd and obvious.
And get off the
and
field.
And you succeed. You've got him in that. And now it's not over yet.
You've got him, and suddenly it's not over because the guy pulls it down and runs. But to me, the bigger impact schematically is the fact that, oh, there's a snap to Kyler Murray, and you ran the ball with a lead blocker. You ran it like what you saw the Patriots doing with Cam Newton. That's exactly, you continue to develop this with the Arizona Cardinals, and that's going to have a huge impact on the box.
Cam Newton.
Yes, Cam Newton.
That brings up two questions. One, you mentioned Steve Keim from Friday.
You know, it's a double-edged sword. I mean, I think it's one of those things that you don't want to take away a skill set that is so unusual, yet at the same time you want to make sure he protects himself. And kind of goes back to those guys that people have coached over the years, and it's like he's a no, yes, yes guy. It's like no, yes, yes, yes. You know, it's
yes.
when you know you want him to get the ball out of his hands, you don't want him to scramble as much, but then he makes a terrific play and does something that is mind blowing from a skill set standpoint, and you know you say that's what makes Kyler Murray Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray's still banging the rust off. There's no doubt about that. And yet he's a nightmare right now to defend. He was just so good, so productive. But he missed throws that we're not used to seeing him miss. He overthrew what? Chase Edmonds on a seam route?
Yeah.
He overthrew Christian Kirk? He missed Dan Arnold down the seam? When you see Kyler missing seam throws, it's where his accuracy shows up to me more than any other place on the field. Throwing the ball in the middle of the field, especially in particular down those seams. He never saw Landon Collins on the weak side in that cover two look. He never saw him there. He's still knocking rust off. He wasn't at his best. And yet, oh my goodness, he was a nightmare to defend.
We want to give you a brand new $700 barbecue grill and a custom Arizona Sports cornhole set. Here's how you get it. You text GATE to 620-620 right now to be part of the Arizona Sports virtual tailgate with your favorite hosts and special NFL guests. We're giving away one barbecue grill and cornhole set every weekday at 5 o'clock. You want to be the winner today? Text GATE to 620-620. The Arizona Sports virtual tailgate is presented by Four Peaks.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Doug and Wolf react to yesterday's D-backs game. D-backs Daily. Brought to you by America Roofing. Honored to protect your family as the number one roofer in Arizona. Online at AmericaRoofingCo.com.
Every weekday morning, the Doug and Wolf Show does it at 7 o'clock, D-backs Daily. But today we have Cardinals right tackle Kelvin Beachum coming on at 7 o'clock. So we said, let's do it at 6:30.
Nice.
How did it start? Torrey's not happy.
That's a strike on the outside edge. And now Adam Hamery says enough is enough to the Diamondback dugout. He's yelling into Torrey Lovello. He's going to get tossed.
Yeah, because you just can't argue balls and strikes.
He's handing things over to Robbie Hammock. I think he has been tossed from this game.
I mean, that's just the golden rule. You know, when you argue balls and strikes, you're going to get tossed.
Can't do it.
He knew.
Something tells me he wanted to be tossed.
And that was right after Mad Bum had argued in the third inning about it for when he was out on the mound. And then it turns around in the top of the fourth when he's had enough of it. As the Diamondbacks, again, left a small village on the bases.
The next one. Swinging a ground ball to second. They're going to get two out at second. Out at first, double play. But
Escobar knocks in a run, no RBI, because they had nobody out and bases loaded, and that was the only run they could score. Then in the top of the fifth.
D-backs have four hits, Astros two. There's a high fly ball to left by Ahmed.
Ahmed crushed it. And now it's 2-0 Diamondbacks. So you feel okay about things because Mad Bum looked good. Five innings pitched, not a ton of innings for your ace, but seven strikeouts, one walk, no runs in those five innings.
I'd just like to see Nick Ahmed continue to make strides with a bat.
Mm-hmm.
Such a disappointment early in this season. He really has picked it up.
So after they take the Mad Bum out, the first batter for Widener is George Springer. The first batter for Rondon is George Springer.
The pitch and a fly ball hit pretty well into center. Barshow going back near the wall out there, and he leaps, and it's off the wall. Didn't catch it. Bounces toward right center field. Barshow recovers, gets it back in. Here comes Springer to the plate. Here comes the throw. We got a play, and he is safe.
So an inside the Parker followed an inning later by a...
Here comes another 3-2 pitch to Springer with two outs and a line drive to right. Back on it goes Calhoun at the wall. He leaps. It's gone.
So two homers from Springer in back-to-back innings. Then Gura comes in and loads the bases up, gives up a sac fly. Diamondbacks lose.
And the pitch. And a ground ball should end it. Altuve's got it on to first. Astros win it 3-2. Back with more right after this on the D-backs Radio Network, presented by Chase.
Yep. And now they're 20-34 on the season. Bear hit the close.
You've been listening to D-Backs Daily on the Doug and Wolf Show. Brought to you by America Roofing. Honored to protect your family as the number one roofer in Arizona. Online at AmericaRoofingCo.com.
This game was all about Mad Bum to me. The best start since he's been a Diamondback.
Yep. One of the few positives that you've got in it. Leadoff walk in the first, no run scored. First and second with one out in the second, no run scored. Bases loaded, nobody out in the fourth, only one run scored. And the fifth through the ninth, they never had an inning where they sent more than four batters to the plate. Coming up next, the special sideline slash front row seat review from Paul Calvisi on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Your home for everything Arizona Cardinals. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Big Red Monday with Doug and Wolf. Presented by Sanderson Ford.
Paul talks to football players and tries to stay out of the way. It's the Pauly Pigskin Report.
Yeah, Pauly Pigskin Report.
No problem staying out of the way yesterday. Let's put it that way. There were 70,000 empty seats out there. And, yeah, it was somewhere between a red and white practice and a lab experiment where the white coats are bringing two football teams to try out this thing called football. It truly was part of a sci-fi movie, just the whole scene. No fans, no Cardinals on the sideline during the national anthem. It was just very different in numerous ways, obviously. You know who else wasn't on the sideline for the entire game? Yours truly, Pauly Pandemic, Pauly Pencilneck. I'm walking the front row there, Doug, along the rail. Players would turn around occasionally and then be sorely disappointed. All they were looking at were sideline reporters. Okay, Zane Gonzalez gave me a hard time. Pat P. Fitz, I'm doing the halftime. Fitz is pointing to like where I normally stand on the field. He's like palms up, like, dude, what's you know, Washington goes for it on fourth down. Here was your money moment. Justin Pugh turns around. It was the fourth down Washington was going for. He turns around to implore the Red Sea to rise up. He's throwing his arms up in the air. Let's go, you know. And then DJ Humphries started laughing because he's pointing as it was only, you know, the 170-pound guy.
So
over
did
there
you make standing any noise for him, Paul, or yeah, did you? Yes, just
I try. You know, okay. I got a hot mic. What are you going to do?
Okay.
What was funny was when Washington had a false start, and the scoreboard updated the all-time tally, and the animation graphic thanked the fans for making so much noise that the opponent couldn't hear, and
that's
they false started. So
that's
that was hilarious. I think that must have been. I mean, that was like some dry humor there or something.
Somebody had to have thought of it at the beginning of the year. Should we update this and change it to not thank the fans? And somebody said, no, just leave it. Just leave it.
Just play it. It was good. It was good deadpan humor. I thought it was solid. So, you know. But, Wolf, there were times where it was dead quiet. You know, there was no pumped-in noise. You could hear voices all the way down the sideline.
Yeah, no, Paulie, we talked about that, right? I mean, it's one of the things that blows my mind is just how easy a defense might be able to pick up on some of your offensive cues and vice versa as well.
All right, so Kyler good and Kyler bad early. The good, the touchdown run that was called back where he did the high step one-on-one in space. He's freezing and clowning Landon Collins. And then after the flag, he's like, all right, no worries. I'll just hit D-hop for the pass. I don't know how he got so wide open. Not good. The interception to Landon Collins. So Kyler, nobody says a word to Kyler. He's leaving the field. He is steamed. He is cheesed off. He drops his helmet on the sideline. He stares straight up at the roof, and they just let him vent. You could just see the steam coming out of the ear hole. I mean, it was and then speaking of frustrated, the D and D-hop, when the D stood for drop, I'm just going to say this. If the Cardinals need an emergency kicker, D-Hop left the field, and as he passed by Zane's kicking net, there was a ball set up. D-Hop gives it a mighty kick. It rockets off the base of the stands. I thought I was going to get a souvenir ball for a minute.
Yeah.
Because remember, he went through the entire 2018 season. He went an entire season without a single drop.
Paulie, I just want to jump in here and go back to the move Kyler Murray put on Landon Collins. Did that look as good at field level as it did? And I know you were in the first row, but still, that was unbelievable. That's a good football player that he vexed.
You know how NBA guys will come off the bench on a facial, on a dunk, an epic dunk? That's how the Cardinals sideline reacted to that move. So
they lost it up, Paul.
Right. That's they're like, good, oh, my man. Goodness. Look, it was like a Dion high knees or
unbelievable
something.
Unbelievable.
So, and then the first touchdown run, speaking of running, the 14-yarder, And I was talking with some of the Fox TV crew, and in the production meetings, Kyler had noted to them that he's, quote, seeing the running lanes clearly now. Hashtag TikTok. I mean, that's like when Happy Gilmore learned how to putt. If he's seen the lanes and the NFL game is slowing down, and then he obviously has the fullback into Cliff Kingsbury, hello. That's what's developing in front of our eyes right now.
Nightmare on Elm Street, Paul.
Then there was a moment where he ran out of bounds on the Cardinals sideline and Daron Payne was giving chase. And he runs up against Jordan Phillips on the white stripe, and the two start having words. And I'm like, oh, did Payne hit Kyler late, and did Jordan Phillips step in? Because a few years ago, there was a D lineman who hit Carson Palmer late on the Cardinals sideline, and Ted Larson, the guard, went nose-to-nose with this dude, and he gave up like 3 inches. And he told the guy, like a mafia hitman, he goes, and I quote, "Don't ever touch my quarterback out of bounds again, ever." And the D lineman, I don't know if he saw this look in Ted Larson's eye. He actually complied and walked away. There was no shove. There was no words. There was no tussle. He just kind of went back to the huddle. I was like, anyway, I guess Jordan Phillips and Payne are friends and they're messing around. So there was no rooting and tooting. Oh. Like, no, like Gilmore against DK Metcalf in the Seahawks-Patriots game.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, boy, they're womping and stomping
you
in that one.
You gotta be kidding me.
So at the half, Washington's possessions, punt, punt, fumble, punt, punt, punt. So the Cardinals came out of the locker room early. I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, what kind of adjustments do you really need to make? And
Paul, they couldn't wait to get back on the field.
Right. And Cliff Kingsbury's message, by the way, was that, hey, they came back from 17-0 down. We're up 20-0. Let's not make the mistake the Eagles made last week. And even though the energy was out of the building for most of the second half, obviously they held on and, you know, they stressed the run game a little more in the second half like they did, and that's what Cliff said at halftime as well. We're going to run the ball sort of like they did against the Niners. And then you had that wacky drive early third quarter, including the Cardinals going for it on 4th-and-1 from their own 27 while they're up 20-0. And the only reason why you do that.
Mandatory.
Leveler.
Thank you, Bear. Chris Streveler, when you have him, you defy the odds. As the Cardinals, yes, they do convert, but that whole drive just went backwards, and he had the flag on Kyler for the intentional grounding. And I've never seen this before. He knew he was going to throw the ball away. He threw it right. You know, he did have a targeted receiver. It was the ball boy. He actually, if you watch, he threw it right to the ball boy. He's like, ah, you know, this play's trash, and he just threw it to the ball boy like Larry used to do for the Vikings.
You guys didn't get to see that play on television. We'll have another time period where we get to explain the rule to Dick Stockton so he has any idea what he's doing. For kids that don't know, Dick Stockton, great broadcaster in the 70s and 80s. Great. 70s and 80s.
So there's that disjointed drive, and Cliff Kingsbury did something he rarely does, and he called an entire offensive team meeting on the sideline. He's not a meetings guy. When he does have a meeting, they're ultra quick, quicker than how he runs his offense. But he was pointing to himself, and then later guys said that he was basically saying, you know what, we're the only ones beating ourselves. I made some bad play calls on that drive. There was some bad execution, obviously 11 flags, and that's his message. You know, really the only ones beating us on this field would be ourselves, and we're hosing ourselves. And so you had that. But Cardinals win the time of possession 34-26, and I bring that up. Because remember what Rex Ryan said before last week's game on NFL Countdown, right? How the Cardinals wear out their own defense because they can't win the time of possession and they can't run the ball, except they just ran the ball for 160 yards. They ran the ball last week for 180 yards. So we can only hope the Cardinals' opponents are as unprepared as these studio analysts as they keep espousing this stuff out there, this nonsense.
Washington ran 60 plays, Paul.
As we go into the locker room here, azcardinals.com, as they posted this clip of Coach Cliff.
Hey, congrats on the win, fellas. Two things I felt today. I felt going in, we were super confident. Y'all felt that, right? There was no way we weren't winning that game. I also felt leaving that field, we're not satisfied. We can play so much better. Everybody understand that? So much better. Just little things here and there. But that's a hell of a job finding ways to win, right? Hell of a job. Let's keep grinding.
And just to give perspective, because was it perfect? Absolutely not. But you could have been the Falcons yesterday, you realize, and here's your holy cannoli stat, NFL teams scoring 39 points and committing zero turnovers were 440-0 until the Falcons blew a 19-point lead and the game against the Cowboys the first time in 441 games. Someone has lost when they scored 40 points, or at least 39 points, and committed zero turnovers,
oh,
and you lost.
Goodness. Wow.
Yeah. That is the Paulie Pigskin Report.
That's a good one, Paulie.
And next
hit the close
is Kelvin Beachum, Cardinals right tackle. He's going to join us live from Cardinals headquarters. And we'll ask him, how's it feel to be 2-0? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.